today on Real Radio.
Then you heard the truth and it messed up your life completely because you love God, you know his word is true, but you get caught up in your works and you think that you've got to earn his love every day. Listen, you're born again, you love the Lord, you're going to heaven, but you need to understand something. His thoughts toward you now are for a future and for a hope. He loves you. He decides to do that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Day You Will Want to Miss, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah prophesied from 739 BC to 681 BC to a nation that had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. So through Isaiah, God had to warn Israel of the coming judgment in the hope that his chosen people would return to him. The book of Isaiah also provides us with a full scope into the life of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sacrificial death, and his glorious return. In Isaiah chapter 33, we saw how Isaiah's prophecy against the Assyrian Empire comes to pass, but not before God uses them to fight against Judah. Isaiah cried out to the Lord to be gracious to Judah, even though they'd forgotten about God and looked elsewhere for help. It's only when we turn away from the Lord that he will use our enemies, or whatever means necessary, to bring us back. We often don't realize that it's his goodness and his love that protects us. Now in Isaiah chapter 34, we'll see a shift in the structure of Isaiah. Isaiah sees into the future at a very small segment of time called the tribulation period. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that in the middle of the seven-year tribulation period, there will be one nation alone which will be at the center of God's focus, and that is the nation of Israel. But at the end of those seven terrible years, God's judgment begins on those who have not received the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord, and you do not want to be there on the day of the Lord's vengeance. And now continuing in his lesson called A Day You Will Want to Miss, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Look at Isaiah 60. And I'm wondering if you're reminded of a New Testament verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Sound familiar, anybody? To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 2. Isaiah 60, verse 2. The second part goes on. Notice, the day of vengeance of our God. Do you see that? 61. Sorry, 61. That was terrible. I have 60 in my notes, and it's 61. Isaiah 61, notice this. Isaiah 61, when he's announcing in the first verse, it's all good news, right? You recognize the ministry of Jesus. Look at the opening part of verse 2. You still recognize the ministry of Jesus. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There's a comma right there. If it was in English, it's in Hebrew. There's a comma. There's a pause. Thank God there's a pause. You want to know why? The next statement in verse 2 is, and the day of the vengeance of our God. In Luke chapter 4, listen to it now. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but it was literally the day that Jesus, the citizen of Nazareth, it was his day to read in the synagogue. The week before, it was some other guy from his town. There's no coincidence with God. The very day that a particular citizen that from Nazareth, who happens to be Jesus, it's his turn to read from the appointed scripture of that day. Every synagogue in the world would be reading the same passage from Isaiah that day. And it just so happens Jesus stands up because it's his day to read it. watch what happens. Wouldn't you love to have been there? And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. He didn't go searching for, oh, I'm going to blow their minds. I'm going to go to Isaiah 61 and freak them out. He turned to the place where he was supposed to, because chapter 60 had been read the week before. Chapter 62 would be read next week. Are you with me? Verse 18, Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty to those who are oppressed. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Can you imagine? He stops right in midstream. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. This is shocking. This is not supposed to happen. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Of course they were. They're wondering what's going on. And he began to say to them, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Shocked everybody. You can read on later. They were absolutely blown away. He's announcing to all of us that he's the Messiah. Listen, church, if he would have kept reading, he would have gone right from the proclamation of the good news to the tribulation period. The very next statement in verse 2 of Isaiah 61 is the tribulation period. See, Jack, what are you saying? That comma has been holding back. That comma has been 2,000 years holding back judgment and the wrath of God on earth. One comma in your Bible. And when God begins to move again, man, are things going to go quick. Remarkable. Jeremiah 30, verse 1 says this. Jeremiah 30, verse 1, concerning that period of time. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back the captivity, my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to their land. You all have witnessed that. And that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. That's happening now. Verse 4. Now these are the words of the Lord spoken concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do we see every man with his hands on his private parts? Like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he, that is Jacob, that's Israel, shall be saved out of it. The tribulation period. It's what Isaiah is talking about. Look at verse 3 of Isaiah 34, verse 3, chapter 34. Also, their slain shall be thrown out. He's talking about the judgment of the nations. God's going to do this. Also, their slain shall be thrown out. Their stench shall rise from their corpses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. Is that graphic or what? You say, that's not going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. But Jesus, meek and mild, right? Not when he comes back. We have that shepherd picture of Jesus, and so you and I should keep that in our minds. We're believers, but there's a day coming when his eyes are a flame of fire. Wow, he's coming back, and his face, the Bible says, is so brilliant that the sun will flee from his presence. His face, when he comes in the second coming, will dim the brilliance of the sun. Supernatural light. You say, well, that's kind of scary. I can't believe that's happening. It's going to happen. By the way, it doesn't have to be scary for you. He's talking about the end. He's talking about the end of the tribulation period. Okay, now hold on to your seats. It's exactly what's being talked about in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Now listen to this. So many times, you guys, I need all of you to pay attention. This may sound, may be boring to you, I don't know, but this is vitally important. This portion I'm going to read to you right now has been abused by so many people. I remember years ago being at a conference, and the teacher, the speaker, used this portion of scripture to justify the rapture, and it's completely wrong. There's not a Greek scholar on the planet that would say that this is a rapture verse. But if you're not careful in your Bible study, you'll assume it is because it sounds similar. Are you ready? Get your pen ready. Luke 17, beginning at verse 30. Jesus talks about that period of great tribulation, and certainly the seven-year period in total. Luke 17, verse 30. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man, Jesus, is revealed. When he comes, verse 31, on that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. What does that mean? That's the midpoint of the tribulation period, church. You ought to write that down in your notes, right there in Luke chapter 17. Midpoint tribulation period. In fact, you can write down 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as well. Jesus says, if something's going to happen, don't even go into your home. Run! And Matthew 24 is in total concert with Luke 17. Jesus said, those of you who are in Judea, in Jerusalem, listen, not Canoga Park or Newport Beach. He's very specific. Those of you who are in Judea, when you see this, flee. Don't even go to your house. Run. They're going to run, by the way. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They're going to run to Petra. At that point is where the Antichrist declares himself to be God in the temple of God and the abomination of desolation, Matthew chapter 24, and the Jew will run for his life, realizing we've been deceived by this political superstar person, and they flee. Now watch what happens. Verse 32, amazing statement. Remember Lot's wife. Good or bad?
Bad.
Context is judgment. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will also be two women grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Watch out. Don't make the mistake that a lot of people make. Context is judgment. If you mess this up, you're going to have no rapture happening in your eschatology. You've got what you think is a rapture at the end of the tribulation period. Nobody really goes up at all. But this is not the rapture. And Jesus is going to prove it to us. Look at verse 37. And they said to him, the disciples, where, Lord? Now look, everybody. Where, Lord? Where what? Notice the where are people left or where are people taken? Where they're taken. Where? And Jesus says to them, where the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered together. The word corpse here is rotting, dead, defiled flesh. People who want to make this a rapture verse will say, that's the body of Christ. That's Jesus. That's Christ. And the vultures are really eagles. That's the church. And that's what it is. It's a rapture. Good luck. You can't do that. Wherever they're taken to judgment. The ones who are left are the ones that are blessed. If you keep reading, the ones that are left are the ones who survive the tribulation period and they live into the millennial kingdom. Those that are taken away in judgment. This is at the end of the tribulation period. This is not a church rapture event. They're taken away to destruction. Jesus, listen, simultaneously, Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's the second coming, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but on the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry. Listen to this. The criteria, you know this, the criteria is, how did the nations treat the Jew during those seven years? And he's going to tell you that in a moment. Verse 35, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, here it is, inasmuch as you did it to one or the least of these, my brethren, the Jew, you did it to me. When Jesus says, my brethren, he's always talking about the Jew. Verse 41, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you, and he goes through that list again. And they say, when did this happen? And he said, is verse 46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The criteria is they didn't bless his brethren. Very serious. This should both teach us a warning and also an exhortation regarding wickedness. The heart of man needs to be born again. Man needs to be changed from the inside out. Verse 4, chapter 34, verse 4, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. That's not happened, people. That's coming. And the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down, the stars, as the leaf falls from the vine and as fruit falling from a fig tree. Now watch, remember, Isaiah speaks so much New Testament language. In your notes now, write down 2 Peter chapter 3. If you recognize that talk, you recognize 2 Peter 3. When he says, 2 Peter 3 verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. In other words, God lives in eternity. He's not waiting for anything. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. In other words, if you've been getting away with murder, if you think God's approving of it, if you've been sleeping with your neighbor, if you think doing drugs and you're porn and you're robbing the bank and you're ripping off and you haven't been caught yet, and you think it's good, it must be good, God didn't stop me yet, it must be fine. Listen, you're living by the skin of your teeth, man. Only by the fact that God is patient and kind. But he will stop with that. Don't count his patience as being slackness, nope, but his long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's heart, is for you to get right with him. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt. The word element here in Greek is atom. The atoms will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them shall be burned up. That's Isaiah talk. Remarkable. The consistency of the scripture. Verse 5, listen to what God says. This is shocking. For my sword shall be bathed, the word is soaked, in heaven. Whatever God's doing, church, this is radical. The English here is nothing. The word implies this, watch this. The word implies God himself, not an angel. The Lord takes his sword and he dips it, we'll know this more in a moment, he dips it in righteousness or justice, judgment. In other words, what God is about to do in Isaiah 34, yet future, is absolute pure holiness, righteousness, and justice. You and I don't even know what holiness is. We don't even know what justice is. I want justice! No, you don't. You don't even know what you're talking about. Because justice is pure holiness and righteousness. And none of us can stand in the presence of it. That's why you and I need the blood of Christ. His righteousness would consume us in a second if it weren't for the redemptive blood of Christ. His sword is drawn out. This means that the king is about ready to return to earth and to exercise his righteousness. Wow. Look at verse 6. The sword of the Lord is filled. The word is dedicated with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness. Now he goes into a description of its absolute effect. With the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah. That's a reference. Almost all Greeks, Hebrew scholars say those statements are a reference to his perfect ability to judge in his second coming. Watch this. He says that he has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Edom is not only a geographical place, but in the context, Edom is an arch enemy of God's people and God's promises. You may remember who's the father of Edom? Yes, Esau. Esau, who despised his birthright. Esau, who didn't honor the things of God, became an enemy. The wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with fatness. That's tremendous. Verse 8, for it is, why is this? For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. Just like Isaiah 61. This is the day that you and I as a Christian will never see. You'll never see this. You'll never see God act towards you in vengeance. You need to know that tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Day You Will Want to Miss. Thanks for joining us today. And while we are still here on earth, let's not miss anything that Jesus might have for us. A Day You Will Want to Miss is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, it's amazing just how much the Lord protects us. When we choose to follow Christ, our future is secure in heaven with him. That's why it's so important to spend time in the Word, to pray, and to just listen to what the Lord wants to say to us. Devotional time is one way that we can do this. That's why Pastor Jack has written a new devotional for us each week, and they're available at the website reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Simply click on the Devotions tab and see how Pastor Jack takes a verse from the Bible and makes it personal, something that we can prayerfully read and apply to our daily lives. Pastor Jack's also made available his previous devotions, so there are plenty to choose from for every day of the week if you'd like. So head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on that Devotions tab to help you spend quality time with the Lord. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.